I looked in our CRM. I said, wait, we've got to get back into this. And no sooner did we do that than all of a sudden they were right ready to go.
I'm sure you inspired a lot of people out there. We preach that all the time, but I think until people see it or they hear it directly, they kind of don't believe it. Welcome, phenomenal agents and investors nationwide. Today is Thursday, June 11th, 2020, and this is Mastermind call number 282. We do have two people in the queue. I always encourage you to try to get in there early so you don't get left out. We want your wins. We want your challenges, your success stories, places you're getting stuck. This is an open forum, and there's really nothing that's out of bounds here. So as long as you're polite and nice about it, we'd like to be able to help you. Just hit *6 and hit 1. First up this week is phone number ending in 6248. You're up first.
I've been researching, and I can't seem to understand the difference between pro se and pro per, and I was hoping that you might clarify that for me.
So pro se is when they're still known as the petitioner. So it's prior to the appointment of them being the official administrator. Pro per, and just so everybody understands, when probate is initially filed, you submit the petition for probate. If you do not appoint an attorney, then you're considered pro se. Once the confirmation hearing is complete and the letters of testamentary are issued, then that becomes a pro per. And at that point, you're the administrator, or what we call generally the personal representative. So in either case, it means they do not have legal representation. Pro se is before the appointment. Pro per is after.
That's great. Thank you.
Next up is phone number ending in 8546. You're up next.
Hi, guys. I'm doing a mail out. I began sending letters already to historicals, and as well as to new leads. And I'm just kind of curious, as far as a lot of times people don't open their mail, obviously, especially if they see it might be like a mass type of mailing type of thing. Do you think maybe a postcard where they have to actually, before they look, throw it away, they have to actually look at it to see if it's something they keep or not? Would that be more cost effective and maybe more efficient to get them to get their eyes on your services?
So that's the reason we use greeting card envelopes. So number 10, like standard business envelopes and postcards, have less than a 1% response rate in my business. And I always achieve about a 2% response rate if I use a greeting card envelope with blue ink hand address. I had hand address with a live first class stamp. So postcards are certainly more affordable, but in almost every campaign I've ever done personally, they've been less effective. You don't have the curiosity piece of it looking like a greeting card from a family member or friend. That's what gets that mail opened.
Okay, I guess that's the goal, is to get the eyeballs on it, or maybe look at it, and the postcard. Maybe a lot of realtors send out postcards anyway, so they just probably just automatically just start throwing out the postcards,
right.
And they might just look at a greeting card and open it out of curiosity. Okay, that's cool.
All right, with postcards, and then you've got lawn care companies. I mean, I get postcards just with current resident. They don't even know your name. So people get a ton of postcards. That's why the greeting card's more effective.
I'm just going to agree with your initial comment. If it's a number 10 envelope with a label on it, it's probably going to get thrown right away. And that's one of the reasons we make our mail that we do for you look as different from that as possible. Tim's done a great job. It's even like a little bit messy in an angle. It really looks like somebody took a felt pen and scribbled an address on there. And it really looks like a wedding invitation or a birthday card. It doesn't look like most junk mail. So it does have a much higher open rate than if it was just a regular envelope with a label on it.
Absolutely, 100%. And just what I did is I had 100 historicals that I bought, and on 50 I used one letter, and then on the other 50 I used another letter, so that way I can maybe gauge, do an A-B test to see what letter might work for the future. Is that something that you also recommend? You just say just use the same letter for all 100, or is it get to spit them up maybe, or?
With marketing, always be testing. So I used to use, I don't know, up to probably, I used a half a dozen different phone numbers. And the way I would track it is I would pull a unique phone number through CallFire for like $1.99. I would get a unique phone number for each letter, and they would just all be pointed to the same phone line. But having that, like, I could keep track of how many, which number got how many phone inbound calls. So that really helped me track the effectiveness of each letter. Now, having done that for, I don't know, the better part of 2 years and tracked every single piece of mail, I ultimately decided to simplify the campaign because we didn't really have the tools that you have available to you now. I was managing it all manually. But don't ever be afraid to test. But, you know, for those of you listening, if you're like, oh, my God, I'm sending the same letter over and over. With probate, you know, all the letters that you have available through our subscriber portal, they've all been proven. So they work. If you send the same letter 12 times, 12 months in a row, it's you know, when it gets there is usually most important. We don't give you any letters that aren't proven out to work. So it's you got to find your own balance. Like sometimes some people like a sequence, others like just the simplicity of sending, you know, getting one letter and just sending it over and over and over and over. And we see consistent results using both methods.
Okay, beautiful.
But especially
the name
like
of
as you get, as you get testimonials and things that are really unique to you, that's the you know, things that you can layer in. Like letter one could be, you know, a general, here's everything we can do. Letter two might be a story of a past client, like a testimonial or a case study. Letter three could be something else. And so as you build experience, don't be afraid to test is my point. And the numbers, the company that I use to pull phone numbers and track everything, I did it through CallFire. And there's also CallRail. There's several out there, but I use CallFire, and I think it was $1.99 per month for the number and then 5 cents per minute. If I knew a call was going to run really, like, and what I would do is I didn't want to pay the 5 cents per minute beyond the initial phone call, so I would just make sure that they had my cell phone number when we spoke the first time.
Okay, beautiful. All right, guys, thanks.
All right, we have three more. Go ahead, somebody, Timmy.
Real quick,
Bruce.
It's Bruce. Yeah, before we move on, I want to kind of throw out, there are some of the subscribers that we have that are doing a lot of mail. For those of you who are doing historical leads and doing a couple of mailings, or you're doing three or four letters, letters are perfect. If you're doing a whole lot of mail, I personally haven't seen a big problem mixing in a postcard or two, as long as you have a very specific call, not call to action, unique selling proposition that's like bold and kind of in their face, where they can't, they get your message within that 10 seconds that they're walking from the mailbox toward the trash can. But otherwise I 100% agree with Chad and Jim that letters with that number 10 envelope are 100% the way to go.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, good point. Good point, Bruce. I know we do have subscribers that'll do a year's worth of mail, and the first three or four will be letters, and then after that they'll go to postcards, because it is diminishing returns. But there also will be a lot of those people that won't take action till the sixth or eighth or 12th month. So yeah, good point. You know, they both work. It's just use them effectively and engage your results. Like he said, do tests. All right, well, we have three more in the queue. Next up is phone number ending in 4361. You're up next.
This is Mr. Stupid Question again.
How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing okay. Listen, I'm making these phone calls. My biggest problem is I'll make a bunch of calls, and I'll go away, and I'll come back, and I have trouble finding where I left off. Now, I am marking it now, so I can find that. But yesterday I went into my new batch and I noticed the first call I made said number 26 out of 100. And I backed up to one, but I missed the first 25 unless I went back manually. How does this thing work? I mean, is there a tutorial on it, or I know Chad's going to say, "Yeah, you go online," and, but I don't know where. I couldn't find it. Anything to explain that? I couldn't figure it out.
So I just want to be clear: you are using My Probate Leads in your subscriber portal, not Vulcan 7, correct?
Whatever's on the website is what I'm using.
So when you click into My Probate Leads, you'll choose the list. Like, you'll see every list you've ever gotten,
right,
based on
correct,
the date.
Correct.
You click that. That takes you to the list view. And then you click on one of the leads, and that takes you to the lead view. And when you're in the lead view, you can use the arrow at the top right. So when you make a call, you just go to the top right and click the right arrow. That'll take you to the next lead in the list. And if you click in between the two arrows, you'll see a series. It's an icon with like five lines. That takes you back to the list view. The way you can keep track, so when you make a call, are you using the option status tab to rate them and track the result of the phone call?
Yes, but what concerns me is that it started out on lead number 26.
Yeah, so you were just on the second page. You were on the second page of the list view. You may have just bumped that arrow in the top right.
No, I checked that. I was not. I was on at the bottom. They have a list of what page. I was on
one of the most efficient.
It was a brand new list.
If you've already made some calls and changed the ratings on some of the leads, at the top of each column, if you click the header at the top of the column, it will sort either ascending or descending. So you can very quickly come up with the ones that you haven't talked to by looking at the rating column and sorting. And anyone that doesn't have a rating hasn't been reached out to. That way, even if they get mixed up, if you get lost, you can very quickly get back on track by using the column sorting.
Is there a tutorial?
If you want someone, there is a tutorial. I just, based on your comment, I didn't think that you wanted that answer. When you're in the My Probate Lead CRM, in the top right, you'll see a teal-colored button that says View CRM Demo, and that will show you how to use it.
All righty. I don't want to take any more time.
If you have any trouble, like if you want to do a one-on-one, just call the support line and ask them to have one of our coaches do a screen share with you, and we'll have someone walk you through it on join.me where we can actually do it with you.
All right. And next up is phone number ending in 8966. You're up next.
Hi. My name is Aram Uciano, and I'm very new to I just got my certified probate expert certificate in the mail last week. The reason I joined is because in my past I've done some probate with real estate. I'm a real estate agent, and I had two attorneys that I work closely with, and they fed me a lot of business. And the one is retiring and the other passed. So it's kind of really slowed down, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I want to get, you know, have that partnership again with new attorneys, and I'm looking for prospecting scripts or letters to reach out to attorneys. And I was wondering if you guys had a good source for that.
We have a ton of conversations that are going to be more valuable than a script. Do you have a pen? Can you take notes?
Yep.
So if you go to alltheleads.com in that search bar in the top right, the first thing I want you to go to is Fraker, Fraker. And that's going to bring up a blog post with me and an estate planning attorney with 20 years experience who's also a real estate agent and investor. And John and I just really kind of take you behind the curtain and say, here's what it's like to walk into an attorney's office, and here's how you can provide real value, and here's what not to do. That's probably the most valuable concentrated hour of content that we have around this. But also in that search bar, put in attorneys, maybe even lawyer. We usually use the word attorney, but there are lots of role play calls where we actually role play that appointment. There are mastermind calls where we've had this discussion. There are tips from the trainer, which is a video blog series that I've done over time. So there's a ton of stuff there that will really help you. And there's, you know, the tricks that we use and the way you start those conversations and don't get the door slammed in your face. But we haven't aggregated all that into one single training right now, but that search bar should bring up a lot of things that will be really helpful for you. And then as far as letters go, in the and when you're in subscriber portal, when you look under mailbox motivator, letter and brochure samples, you'll see there are some attorney-specific letters there that you can review.
I'm sorry. Where would you say the So I would need to go into a subscriber portal. So if I'm not a subscriber yet, I'm not going to be able to access this information. Is that correct?
Right. You wouldn't see those if you're not a subscriber.
Okay.
But it's normally, you know, pre-COVID, walking into an attorney's office without an appointment and providing value up front was hands down the most effective way to do this. But with social distancing and some attorneys still not being back in the office, now we pretty much have to rely on the phone and email and the mailbox.
Well, I did have a lot of success, like, right before COVID. I was just going in with, like, a cookie tray and a nice note and just went into the front desk and asked if I could meet with one of the attorneys just to talk to them about partnering. And I actually had three of the six attorneys call me back and set up an appointment to meet
awesome.
With me. So I just want to continue on with that.
Is that easy.
It really is. And I was, like, scared to death the first time I
Everybody
did it.
Everybody is.
And I meet the receptionist. She says, well, just to let you know, I have my real estate license. I'm like, oh. But that's one of the attorneys that actually reached out to me and said she doesn't. She's here full time, so she can't take care of us, take care of our clients. So that's my next step. I need to subscribe, and then I can access all this information.
And Erin, this is Bruce here. Another thing that you can do if you can't walk in, obviously, like Chad said, it really is that easy. It's not hard when you lead with value. But
uh-huh.
if you have a good LinkedIn profile, and I encourage pretty much you and anyone else on this call to create a good LinkedIn profile, because that'll go a long way with attorneys. Then you find the attorneys. I've picked up quite a few attorneys myself this way, where I just send a message and say, hey, I have a team that specializes in helping people through probate, and I'd like to expand my referral network and be able to send you business. Could we have a chat? And at least I didn't track the numbers, but I'd say at least half of the attorneys themselves will respond to you and say, yes, definitely, if you do it that way, as well as send your letters. As a matter of fact, I think LinkedIn gets a little bit higher response rate than just a letter.
Awesome. Okay. That's a good advice.
You need to have a good-looking LinkedIn profile. It needs to frame you as the expert in that space, though.
Very cool. Yeah, because I haven't gone to that advertise being a probate expert yet on LinkedIn.
Bruce, can you update my profile? Because I haven't since like 2010.
Yeah, I can work on that.
All right. Does that help, Erin?
That helped us so much. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Next up is phone number ending in 9655. You're up next.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me. This is Carlos down in Miami. My question is about timing. In most cases, I know being there first is very important. So let's just say people that filed last month, it would be important to get in front of them. But have you guys experienced the sweet spot of when the probates are filed and when the homes are actually listed? Because I've seen some cases where there's a really long lag between the two.
It's really hard to pattern, and it's different from market to market. It's different from month to month within the market. I'm a systems guy, and I tracked every single metric I could for the first couple years of this, and I never saw a pattern. other than I could consistently count on 6 closings a month. And if I look at it over a one-year period, I've had as long as two-month periods where I had zero business. And I thought this had run its course, and then all of a sudden I would get like 7 listings on one letter. So, like, some of them are going to be super motivated. They're more proactive people. They knew when mom and dad left for the hospital that they weren't coming back, so they went ahead and put the home on the market, or they went ahead and cleaned it out. So a number of them you'll find that, you know, they don't need help. Others, you know, that the change came on so quickly, they just need to get money as fast as they can to make sure mom is taken care of and we can get her moved. And then others will put their head in the sand and they won't do anything for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 months. So they're spread out all over. I mean, ideally you want to try to stretch your marketing, you know, follow up, and continue doing that until you've spoken to everybody. These lists are good for up to 2 years. You can get at least 2% conversion off of them for the first year for sure. But we've, through our call center and my business and lots of other people in coaching relationships, a lot of people get business out of these throughout the second year even. So just talk to as many as you can and you know, keep your campaign going until you've talked to everybody, ideally.
Fantastic. But thank you.
No matter how long you do this, they'll continue to be spread out. They always have been for me.
And Carlos, I'll add to that. I'm just north of you in Broward County. Broward, Dade, Palm Beach County, South Florida, this is a highly competitive market. So even 6 months to a year later, not only will there still be people there, but your call and your marketing will probably have a higher conversion rate the longer you go, because the people, you know, that haven't done anything after 6 months are going to finally be ready, and you're going to have zero competition. So it's kind of two different issues. You know, the you want to hit them right away, but just keep hitting them in markets like ours. You know, down the road, you're going to, you know, if you track your numbers and your letters, like I said, your conversion will be much higher probably in the 6 to 12 month than it'll be initially. Just a lack of competition. It's kind of like expired or FSBO. The day it comes out, you know, 100 people are calling them. 3 months later, you pick up the phone, you'll probably be the only one contacting them.
Makes sense? Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, next up is phone number ending in 9382. You're up next.
Hi, this is Missy. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, cool. I just have a quick question. So I did the probate mastery course. It was awesome. And I can't wait to do it again because I need to reabsorb all that info. But where can I find the logo on the website to download? That's my first question.
It's in the recap email number 3. So were you in the May class?
Yeah.
Yeah, so all the emails, it came in one email, but if you look under session 3, it's one of the links under the session 3 recap.
And next up is phone number, all right, this guy, if we had an All the Leads Hall of Fame, he would be a charter member. Roger Lacey, you're up next.
Well, good.
How's that for a billing and for a little pressure?
Well, I'm just yeah.
Your speech—you don't have an you didn't have an acceptance speech prepared, huh?
No.
Okay.
Just keep my nose down and keep doing stuff that works. And speaking
sure.
of that, I'm just wondering on the going back to mail outs. I think it's time for me to change my mail out up somewhat and put it in the postcard or the calling card stuff. Do you have feedback yet about maybe like putting a pin in the envelope? Tim, what kind of feedback have you gotten on that?
So are you talking about doing an insert in a mailing?
Yes. Have you seen, heard, or feedback from people that have put
always
stuff?
Always help. Always helps. I mean, we do that for a lot of folks. We insert pins. We insert a dollar bill fold up, we insert other things. Anything to give it volume inside the envelope increases the level of interest inside. I mean, if you think about it, it's why automobile dealers put those bogus keys in their mailings when they send them out to people to get them to come into the dealership. Those keys are all the same, but they put them in there to, you know, get your attention so it looks bigger and you want to open it. So, yes, not only that, but we also will personalize the pins for you. We can order them for you, personalized, and all the stuff that goes with that. So whenever you're ready to do it, just let us know.
Yeah, I'll give you a call. I think I'm ready to change it up. Use these letters for last couple of years, and I need to change it up and test something different on that. Other than that, I'm having a real good response rate, and continue to call and call six months, 9 months back, and continuing to search. You guys are doing a great job with everybody, including the investors that are out here and in the system, and I really appreciate all of the support that you've given us. Thank you.
Roger, before you go, we only have one other person in the queue, so we may as well pick your brain just a little bit, if you don't mind. We always, our sales team brags about the number of leads you get and the results you get with them. And what are you getting, 15, 20, 25 leads a month, something like that? You're in a rural area, right?
Yeah, that's about right.
And
20,
yeah.
Big months or 30.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing you do incredibly well, and it maybe just share a little bit, is you use everybody you encounter in the probate deal, in the process, and add them to your sphere of influence and just treat them almost like a past customer and continue to prospect them, you know, long after the deal is closed, right?
Absolutely. I have another coaching system and a different system that I have for particular mail-outs. And, in fact, the 4th of July is coming up. And for my sphere of influence, and many of those I've added from the probate list, and I circulate and hand-carry an American flag for the 4th of July and hand-deliver them, just keeping contact with my sphere. Along about November, I hand deliver pumpkin bread to each one of them. So I make sure that I'm in front of them at least twice a year, staying in front, see how the kids are doing, see what's going on with the family, and I get referrals off of that all the time.
Yeah, I think last time we spoke to you, you had mentioned that you probably get as much business from the ancillary contacts you make as you do from the probate itself. And Bruce, you had a question?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, somebody started to say something. I thought that was you.
Well, the other side of that is whenever I get to a probate house in a subdivision, is one of the first things that I do is I'll knock on doors around the house in the subdivision and let them know that the house is for sale. If they have a family member that they want to move into the subdivision close or something along those lines, and quite frequently I'll get a double end on the probate house.
Right. Great job, my friend. Chad, any questions for Roger now that we got him? We only have one other person in the queue.
I don't have a question. I just would like him to share his award-winning pumpkin bread recipe so that other people can bake pumpkin bread and use that technique.
Well, my wife basically has her sister over, and last year I think we distributed a mix of lemon, blueberry, pumpkin bread, and what was the other one, hon? About three different loaves. They're in there in the kitchen, pumping stuff out. As soon as I get a box, I'm out delivering pumpkin bread. Come back. So it takes me usually about 3 or 4 days to get it all out before Thanksgiving, and everybody just really, really enjoys it. So I'll twist her arm and see if I can't get those recipes for you.
No.
Yeah.
Did I hear her say no in the background there?
Yes, that's what you heard.
I love it. Okay. All right, Roger. Well, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you. We haven't heard from you in a while. It's always great to hear from you, and thanks for being with you. You've been with us, what, 5 years now? It seems like, yeah, at least 5 years. And we really appreciate your continued participation. So thanks for sharing.
God bless y'all. Thank you very much for your help.
All right. Same to you, sir. All right. Next up is phone number ending in 5888.
Hello, this is Deanna.
You're up next.
I just wanted to talk about how well things have been going. We have four occurring in the next 2 weeks.
You have four closings occurring? Is that what you said?
Yes, that's correct. I have four closings occurring in the next 4 weeks, two on Monday. On Monday, one is a probate and one is a Wells Fargo foreclosure. Then we have a second probate happening a week later. And then lastly, we have a very expensive rental, which is $4,200, which is almost like a transaction. The probates were from letters, and the REO, of course, is because we're a Wells Fargo, you know, agent and have been since 2005. But the exciting news is, and what I want to talk about, is how the probates, we have four probates, two of which we've already listed, which I mentioned. We have two that are going to be listed with us shortly after we get finished cleaning up your house, but all of them are from 2 years ago. And we've been sending letters for 2 years, and they didn't respond. And then when they were ready, they called us. Don't give up hope, because even though they may be in your CRM for quite a while, they're still good. At least they have been for us.
I'm sure you inspired a lot of people out there. We preach that all the time, but I think until people see it or they hear it directly, they kind of don't believe it.
Calling those people after about 1 year. And when I looked at our CRM, I said, wait, we've got to get back into this. And no sooner did we do that than all of a sudden they were right ready to go. I mean, they had spent their time. They knew what they wanted to do. They'd gone through the grieving process, which is normally, 2 to 3 months. But still, they had to come to in terms with the rest of their the family members who were heirs. Also, what I want to say is that one of them, Chad will love this, came because they found us accidentally through our probate website, which is through All the Leads.
Congrats. I mean, thanks for sharing. And I just, we just talked about this not a few callers ago. I mean, there are come list me calls at least out to the 2 year mark. There always has been for me. So I'm glad you're finding that in your market too.
We send one letter a month and then we call probably once on a regular basis. In fact, one just called us the other day and said, we've got a problem because we have who's living in the house until she passes away. And then the house will revert back to us. Would you mind going over and seeing if she's okay? Because I just got notice from the courts that she's not mowing the grass. We went over there. We called him back, and he said, look, of all the people who have been sending us letters, you know, you're number one because you've been so consistent in your letters. So, again, don't give up hope.
Well, that's awesome.
Thank you, Deanna. You are in first place for Winner of the Week. You know, we only have two more people in the queue. I'm just curious to kind of reinforce what you said. The people that have taken 2 years, what kind of reasons were there? Is it emotional? Is there logistics? Is it family squabbles? Or is it a little of the above? What made them wait so long?
All of the above. They just haven't been willing to do anything. And then a couple of them are out of state, so it makes it more difficult for them back here. But we know we do offer. We have a complete service. We have a handyman. We have a construction man. And we really put that out also. If you do need this, we're here for you.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. I guarantee you there are more than one person on this call that you inspired to just hang in there long enough to, start reaping the rewards of all the effort they put in. We really appreciate it.
And I hope so, because, we're getting six different probates just this month because of all the past clients. Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing. We really appreciate it. Next and last for now is gone. They just hung up. Oh, there you are. Okay. You're not showing up. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm Sue Steinberg. I just joined yesterday.
Okay.
So
welcome.
Thank you. Well, I felt privileged to get on this call right away. There's a lot of information for probate. Can you just give me some suggestions so I don't act like the guy in Up or Squirrel. Like, there's just so many places you can start going just kind of to be more systematic so that you just move forward. I don't want to be analysis, you know, by paralysis by analysis. I want to get out there, but I want to make sure that I have some sort of a foundation.
Sure.
So we have, you know, obviously learned building this in our own businesses and helping many others. We've learned to do the right things in the right order. So the best first thing you can do is watch the probate fast track videos. And so when you first log into subscriber portal, you'll see those will pop up. And it's about 40 minutes. It's three different videos. Next, you want to make sure that you get your onboarding call scheduled. You'll have a calendar link to get on Tom's calendar. He'll call and make sure that you understand everything and like what your next steps are based on how far you've gotten. And then beyond that, once you've kind of put into action what you guys discussed, then you'll have your first coaching call, your implementation call. And that will be a 30-minute coaching call where you can, you know, lay out your whole plan and strategy and get to work on that. And then beyond that, every 30 days, we'll give you a call with a professional coach, your accountability coaching call. So the system is really designed to get you what you're looking for and keep you on track without having the squirrel syndrome. So start with fast track. And I did get your movie reference, by the way. That's a funny movie. But start with the fast track videos and make sure you get your onboarding call scheduled as soon as possible. And it'll all start to be clear which steps to take in which order.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
All right. Welcome. No, you've been with us a full, what, day now? No deals yet?
I know. I'm slacking.
Next up is phone number ending in 3861. You're up next.
Hey guys, this is Wayne in Texas. You had a little time, figured I'd call in. I wanted to thank Bruce for my first coaching call yesterday and wanted to make sure you got my email, Bruce, with the letters that I was sending out.
I got it. They were good, really good.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good. Well, I was wondering if I needed to change that up with the conversation earlier on the letters. As I told you yesterday, I seemed to get most of my results from the phone calls and not so much with the letters. So I was wondering if I could do anything different or better on there.
We'll make a couple of small changes, but they were looking pretty good. We can
okay.
And you guys know what Wayne is referencing. We're calling the monthly call that we're giving everyone an accountability call. A lot of times that accountability could go a couple of different ways. Some of you are doing a lot of the right things and just need some adjustment. So we might end up adjusting some of your letter content, your calls to action, your selling propositions, might adjust some scripting, and it could be accountability all the way. So Wayne and I had a good call yesterday where we kind of dove into his letters a little bit, and we're making a couple of adjustments there. Wayne, sorry about that. I just didn't want people to wonder what we were talking about.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And, you know, I've been a subscriber for 2.5 years, and I'm still doing – I have my client care coordinator doing an analysis, and I'm getting more and more success as I'm getting more and more comfortable on the phones, and really appreciate all of your mastermind and role play calls and everything you guys do. It really helps to continue to sharpen the saw, and I think I've just eclipsed the six-figure mark in income now. I think I don't have the total numbers of transactions, but Roger was saying earlier, or you were commenting, Jim, earlier on, Roger, some of the deals, oh, going the wrong way. I'm on my way to an appointment right now, as a matter of fact. Some of my, you know, you end up getting, you know, two transactions, you know, with some of the clients, and, you know, you never know. I anticipate a lot more success going forward as I continue to follow up and keep these people in my database, and it's a real good source. The only struggle, as I was telling you yesterday, is I'm having trouble keeping up with I'm doing it. I'm keeping up with my 100 leads a month, but I'm struggling keeping up with my regular database, all my past, you know, sphere of influence people, because it is a struggle to try to stay stay on task for me. That's one thing I could probably use help with, is just the time blocking, is I end up negotiating deals, and you know, you get busy working in the business rather than on generating it, and it's easy to fall behind a week, you know.
Do you have an admin?
I do. She's not a licensed admin, so I can't have her making the calls, although we just spoke yesterday about, once I have people sort of in my web and we've got a relationship, I even though she's not licensed, I believe it's not violating any laws for her to just make follow-ups. Hey, I'm calling on behalf of Wayne, just wanted to see how you're doing, that kind of thing. And that might take some of the load off with the follow-up calls.
Yeah, I mean, if she's done like what you mentioned, like your sphere of influence, past clients, she can certainly do that, but she can make those calls. As long as she's not discussing price, terms, or agency on a specific piece of real estate, she can do a lot of your work for you. So you might want to just focus.
I might break her in on that. I'm not so sure she's got the personality type or the interest in doing that, but if not her, maybe another team member maybe can help me with that.
Yeah. One of the things you could do is just have her keep the conversation really brief and just drive it to your calendar. So if she can make those calls and find out who's interested or who might need help, she doesn't have to have the whole skill set, as long as she's comfortable saying, you know, I had a really, really good admin that was like this. Once we had a relationship, she never wanted to work the phones with prospects, but she really loved working with our past clients and our current, like, deals in escrow. She was excellent. So because she didn't want to do any, like, cold prospecting, I would let her call past – I would have her call past clients and just – and she was really good at just talking to people. Just like, hey, what have you been into? Are you still enjoying the house? And when she would uncover somebody who had questions or needed help with anything, then she would take them straight to my calendar. And that was really helpful. I didn't have to train her to be a salesperson. She already knew how to be friendly with our clients. And that was when she had spare time. I'm like, if you ever find yourself with nothing to do, which was rare, but when you find time in your schedule, just go to our past clients and call through and get them on my calendar. So you might use her that way to get started.
Yeah, she could do that. That sounds good. I appreciate that. It's a good idea.
And I think Bruce said,
all right, sir. Yeah. Chad took some of the words right out of my mouth that she could really call and very briefly just say that Wayne wanted to chat with you. He had to step into an appointment that asked me to give you a call and see if you had time for a chat sometime soon. But the other thing that I was going to recommend, if you're struggling to keep up with your sphere of influence calls, or any for that matter, once I personally got to that point in my career, my business, I just started driving everybody to larger group events, which obviously right now is not the best time to be getting in front of people and breathing all over them. But
Zoom calls.
Yeah, you could do Zoom calls, and even if they're small group and things like that. But driving people to more group events where you can touch multiple people in the same amount of time that you would have in doing a one-on-one really mm-hmm. worked for me. And those invites, I got more business from the people that didn't show up than I got from the people that did come, because they'd feel bad that they weren't coming to my event. And I didn't make them feel bad, but they'd call and say, I can't make it. But I that reminds me, I have a referral for you.
Mm.
So there's lots of ways to leverage your time and leverage your assistant, too.
It may also be time to hire a team of bakers, and maybe Roger Lisi can get you a pumpkin roll recipe. You can just be delivering pumpkin rolls 24/7.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Excellent. We have one last person in the queue, so perfect timing. Last up is phone number ending in 2729. You're up last.
Hey, guys, this is Bill Janiga from Michigan. How are you?
Great, Bill. How about you?
Wonderful. Three quick items. The gentleman that was making the reference about the bread and things, I give out maybe 6 or 7 specific loaves of bread and baked goods to clients that I know are gluten-free. I have a personal baker that I'm friends with, and she makes gluten-free bakery on the side. And that's just gone over so well because there's not that much of that material available in our neighborhood. So that was one.
Yeah.
Man, you guys thought I was kidding. So it's time to put bakers on your team, guys.
Oh, no. That worked out real well. And the one thing I encouraged her to do was to brand her saran wrap. So she now has a round sticker with a little photo of a lady and an oven. So that's gone over exceptionally well. And the other thing, two other quick items. Whoever came up with the comment about asking the prospective client if there's one thing I could take off your plate, what would it be? That's my number one item that I always try to remember to use now. And that has gone over so well. And I find it very, very useful. So whoever created it, thank you very much.
That was mine. It's my way to use a positive statement to bring up negative emotions.
Oh, it does. And a woman the other day, she was a little smart ass, and she says, well, exactly what can you do? I said, we have a team of people who do just about anything. We can get your locks changed. We can get your house cleaned out. I can refer you to a financial advisor. I can refer you to my real estate attorney. I said, we can get the house painted, whatever you need. I said, we're jack of all trades. And then she said, well, what about businesses? We get your business evaluation if you want. And then she calmed down and said, oh, that's interesting. So, yeah, that's just a terrific lead-in for other things. So I greatly appreciate that. And the one last item that I do, and I don't know if anybody's mentioned it or not, but I just had one come up yesterday. In Michigan, because I do purchase the property as well as rehab them or list them, that if we have one that's in probate in Michigan, we have to have a document that's entitled Certificate of Trust, verifying that the trust has been created, has been reviewed, and it's been done within 6 months of closing. So what I started in the last couple of months is I never let the client get that certificate for me. I always ask that I can personally pick it up for the reason that it may get lost in the mail. Then that becomes a segue into either an elder care attorney or a family law attorney, probate attorney, whatever they specialize in, to drop off any of my marketing material, business cards. And that works out really well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. Blame the inefficiency of the post office. You're going to do a better job delivering it, and then you've got yourself an appointment right there to meet with them face-to-face. Great idea.
Even if it's the paralegal, you know, they're really good about it. And well, you know, wanted to save you time and postage. She goes, well, you came way out here. It's a half-hour ride. She goes, I don't mind. I said, I'm here to service the client. I want to make sure that we have this time for closing. And then I said, well, by the way, let me just leave you some of my marketing material so that you know what I do and how I do it. And that goes over well. And I've had feedback on it.
Great idea, sir. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
You too. Bye. Boy, what a great call. And we're ending right on the hour. We'll let you all get back to work. We have two good contestants for Winner of the Week. We'll get back and let you know. I want to end this meeting like I always do. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. I want to particularly thank those that actively participated. And I want to challenge everybody. You heard some good techniques, some stories, some good ideas on this call. Take one thing that inspired you, go out and put it into practice, and please come back next Thursday and share the results with the group. Make it a great week, guys. Stay productive, stay healthy, and we will talk to you same time next Thursday. Take care.